Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Amy, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm super excited to see how this unravels with your gift of conversation.
I am a talker, aren't I? Like, I definitely am a talker. My mom didn't know you could make like your whole career out of talking.
Yeah, I think it's fabulous.
So how did you first find Organize 365?
So I was in a group. It's called the ADD Divas. It's a group for adult women with ADHD. And you were on a webinar. And I remember you were just like talking really fast. Like afterwards, everyone was like, oh my gosh, what did she just say? And I was just like, oh my gosh, she had so much information. I need to learn more. Like you just, there was like so much available. So I was really excited. I think that night I Googled you. I watched a bunch of YouTube videos about the Sunday basket. So I just, at that point, was kind of like intrigued. And then I tried to like buy the Sunday basket and it wasn't available. I was like, what is going on with her website? Why can't I purchase this basket? And then customer service informed me that like you're right in the transition to the new Sunday basket. And then I would have to wait. I was like, no. And then there was, I think there was Embrace was being promoted virtually. And I was like, okay, well, I love online conferences. So I'll just sign up for that. And maybe I'll learn some more from her there. And then it was sold out.
What really? A great experience you had, Amy.
How hard is it to give this woman my money? She has to, but it all has transformed. And now I've got like the workbook, several Sunday baskets. I've signed up for Embrace. I think the moment it was available this year, I'm like registered right away. I've done the planning days. So I'm just all in.
Wow. So I do talk fast. Like I know. And it's so hard.
I do.
You do love it? So yeah. When I record the audiobook, I try to talk slower for Audible. And then Joey's there when I'm recording it. And he's like, yeah, but mom, when you got into those chapters where it was just like your story and you told the story a million times, you just went into storytelling mode. It had like a different flair and flavor to it. And I talk so fast because I want to give as much value as possible. And I really want people to, you know, take enough value away, even if they're not paying, like you're paying with your time. And so I just want people to get as much value as possible, but I know I probably need to slow down a little bit.
But it works for me because I'm also a fast talker and I just, because my brain is like always like in hyperdrive. So I'm like, oh, there's all this great information coming at me. And then I'm like, take the nuggets, which like every week, you know, you have so much, you're just a content creating machine. And then you frequently, like I always, cause I used to work in marketing, it was like content is the king and frequency is queen. And so you're just always like feeding me and I'm like, perfect. Like, she's just going to be there like forever.
Okay, good. So I have a question for you then, Amy, since that's your background. I love to provide new content because I love to consume new content, but I've been podcasting for 6 years. Like you just found me last summer. Right. So there's some concepts, like we do the Throwback Thursday. I think that's good for redoing some concepts. But I'm thinking, you know, there's some people I listen to and they just keep going over the same points over and over and over again. And I think I could be doing a little bit more repeating of the fundamentals, especially for people who have just found me, or even like just as a refresher for people, I probably should get back to the basics a little more. It doesn't always have to be brand content.
But the way that you reiterate the information, like you have your methodology and your lexicon, and then you consume content voraciously, which is like fantastic because you're doing all the searching and researching, gathering all this. And then you make kind of the science of relations where you connect these dots. Like there was like some business book you wrote, and then you wrote it like connected to the home. And so it's always still like the same undercurrent, just like maybe like I guess you could just like remind people some of the fundamentals within that. But I feel like between the new coffee chats The throwbacks. I feel like it's like a really nice spectrum.
Yeah, you can listen to Lisa a lot each week.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Lisa.
Sometimes I don't, like life gets in the way, but like what I love is like, oh my gosh, I can go listen to like a whole week or like a whole bunch of stuff I haven't heard in a while or heard you in a while. And it's like there, like that's really the biggest thing for me is that you're just like so consistent and you're just like a steady keel for me that I can just always come back and kind of regroup and get back into the flow of organization.
I love that because there are podcasts that I go back to also, and I love to queue them up and then just have like a whole morning where all I do is listen to that person and multiple podcast episodes. I do the same thing. I totally understand. All right. Well, tell us who lives in your house with you.
Sure. My husband. And then I have two children who joined our family 3 years ago through foster to adopt.
That is awesome. I love it. And they are, how old are they?
My daughter is 8 and I homeschool her, and my son is 5 and he goes to a pre-K a few days.
So fun. You're very busy then.
Yes. Crazy busy. But I like thrive on having, I think, too much to do.
Yeah. I might resemble that remark.
But you know, you're a doer. Like you're really good at like your think, and then you also do. I'm like think, plan. Oh, like I got that one thing done. Like the doing is really hard for me.
I see. I do a lot.
Yeah. And I love it. It's so inspiring because I just see you on Instagram, whatever, like you're doing stuff. I'm like, okay, just like start. Just start doing things.
I will say it really does help when you like as your vision grows to have people that support you. So like you said your son is going to preschool, which gives you more time than to work with your daughter on homeschool. Yeah. So you can only do so much. And so I do have support at home. And then obviously I have the support here at Organize 365 before recording this podcast. I just took a walk with Vanessa. I was like, all right, here are the next 3 hires. Like we're always like adding and growing because then we can do more if there are more people on our team. So there is a limit to what one person can do.
Yeah. And I am very lucky. My husband, super supportive. I think in the very beginning, when I was like looking at the 100-day program, there was like some planner videos or something you could watch or somewhere I found it. And it was talking about that checklist of all of the tasks
that
you do of your home. And I like presented this to him. He's like, oh, how in the world could you do all of those things? Like it was just like, it made perfect sense to him. And so then we hired additional help. So I got a part-time nanny and then we already had house cleaners. I mean, I'm very lucky that I can have all this support and I'm still like, my house is just constantly in chaos with all this help.
Yeah. I think that's such a great conversation to have because, you know, in the last year, many of us have realized that, you know, a lot of us have privilege. If you have time to be listening to a podcast and considering how you're going to organize your home, you have some privilege, like you're not working 2 jobs and like, there's no extra time for you to even think about working on yourself. And so it is such of a more delicate conversation now about how you spend your time and the resources you have available to you generationally at your disposal today, based on your family of origin, the area of the country that you live in, the profession that you've chosen or happened into. But the reality is this: each individual person has 24 hours a day and they have priorities that they want to do. And then it's a matter of which priorities do you have in which order and what resources do you have available to make those come to fruition? Everyone goes through seasons of lack and seasons where they have more. And then I think we're just all more cognizant now of how we can help everyone achieve their one thing that they're doing right now. It doesn't always mean hiring help, but it may mean saying, I'm not going to do that right now. Like I can't do it and I can't hire it out. So I'm just not doing it. Like not everything on your list needs to be done. And furthermore, most people won't even notice if it's not.
Right. Yeah. I love that. Mm-hmm. And I think there was even when I was doing the 100-day program, you gave us like an out. You're like, this is not the season for you. These are the things. I'm like, okay, great. I'm out.
Yes.
And that's it. And the sort of intentional neglect that I think you talked about before is just really great for me to like be that intentional about, okay, I can't do everything.
Right.
And then I'm going to try, I'm going to plan. And sort of the hours, like, I know I also connected with you because I had read the 168 hours, like 10 or 15,
favorite 20 book. Years.
I don't know, whenever it came out. And I've time tracked, I don't know, for like 15 years, about every 2 years. And it's like the same patterns. And so I'm like, okay, so it's just not going to like hugely change. My lifestyle is going to be, you know, similar. And I'm a wolf. So I'm late.
Okay, I love that. So that book, 168 Hours, You Have More Time Than You Think, is Laura Vanderkam. I've mentioned it a million and one times. I love her as an author and a thinker because she makes me think about time differently, which I think is really difficult to do. And I will say something I probably haven't said very much on the podcast, but you can optimize your time. You can be super productive. For me, the last 3 hours of the day have no productive value whatsoever. If I listen to a podcast or an audiobook while I do my puzzle, then I could say maybe there's some productive value there. But pretty much after dinner, whether I eat dinner or not, and I eat dinner at like 4:30 or 5, until I go to bed between 9 and 10, I get like nothing done. It doesn't matter. Even though those hours are available to me, like I don't do anything in the evening anymore. I used to do parties and webinars and stuff. If you notice, I almost never do an evening webinar. It's just not my time of day. I take a bath. Sometimes I'm too tired to do a puzzle, so I just watch TV. I scroll Instagram. I don't do much which you would consider of value. And I think it's important to notice that we all need that buffer time. And for me, it's like 3 or 4 hours, and that's okay. Like, just because you have 168 hours doesn't mean that every single minute needs to be optimized to the nth degree so that you can be, do, and have everything immediately.
Yeah, I that's really, I think, where I struggled is I see the grid and I'm like, okay, planner, like, oh, just put everything there. Like, look, it all fits in the grid, but you have to take into account your energy level, your optimal like performance times, and just the fact that there's transitions. And then my brain seems to think that time can bend and stretch whenever I need it.
Classic ADD, Amy. Classic.
I know. And so I thought I could solve the problem by continuing to find another program, another, you know, methodology. And now I don't have to. I just have to listen to you, follow your programs, and then just focus on doing them. And then when I fall off the bandwagon, just get back on and start doing it again. I don't need to find something else.
So when did you find me? What time of year did you find me? And what were you looking for in getting organized? Because it sounds like you had already been working on getting organized.
Yeah, I've been like sort of an organization productivity junkie for like 25 years. Since college, I first took a class on 7 Habits for Franklin or Stephen Covey. Mm-hmm. But then I fell in love with the Franklin Covey planner, just like you.
Me too.
Like, went to the classes. Even as a professional, I would always be like, okay, part of my like job offer is I need to take another Covey workshop. And I just like was obsessed with like trying to figure out how to get a hold of time, an organization, my office. Everything was just always a mess. And it's just the reality is my brain, it's not one of my strengths. And so even though it's a learnable skill, the amount of effort that it takes to learn that skill is a lot. but it can be done. And I just have to lower kind of the expectations and be, you know, focus on little sort of that slight edge, right? Those little things that will make a difference over time.
You are a productivity junkie. You're all the books I love.
I have read like literally everything. I'm like, oh, yes, she's going to review. I consume. And then now I'm like, you know what? I don't need to keep searching stuff out. You're going to like,
I'll do it for you.
And then you'll sum it up and then you'll relate it back to organization in my home or life. And then you give me like a planning day that like, I'm like, this is easy. I just follow Lisa.
So Amy, do you think it's because you're like in this new phase of life with these kids, with this different, you know, different goals and different priorities, whereas it sounds like those other organizational things that you sought out in college and your years after that really organized you for your career. And now you're kind of making this life transition.
Yeah, there's some elements to that. I mean, I worked for 20 years in sales and marketing. I traveled a lot, like 250 days a year.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was a road warrior and I kind of thrived on just kind of what you're about to do. And I would take, you know, airplanes like taxi cabs.
Yes. I'm so excited. You can email me all your tips. Yes, I want to be a road warrior.
And, you know, I did that all through my 20s and early 30s. And so I felt like, okay, I got it out of my system. I'm like, okay, I guess I want to be a mom. And then it was like such a shift for me because like the most basic skills, I'm like, gosh, I just can't even get dinner on the table. Like, I can't get my kids like dressed and out the door. Like, how hard is this? I can't make lunch. Like, can it just the amount of time and yeah. also pain for me. And so luckily we've been able to, you know, get help with that. And I guess it's kind of like every year in January, I sort of like, I'm a very like planner. So I look at the year, okay, what organization programs are going to attempt to do. And with the pandemic, we were home. I had no breaks, no help. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, she's really appealing to me. Plus my father, cancer battle became very terminal. And so we're dealing with a lot of caregiving and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And you just like, again, I would like hear a podcast about, what was it? Oh, it was like passing things down. And I went to my dad and I said, you know, let's figure out one thing that really means yeah. a lot to you and to me, because I don't really have lots of like nice stuff. And so we found this tool because he was in the Navy that he used throughout his entire career. So he was a machinist. And like, he told me the stories. I filmed him telling me how he used this tool. We wrote it down in his will. And I was like, okay, I know exactly where it is. We labeled it with the label maker. And I was like, I felt so much relief. And that's because of you, you know, kind of telling your story of how you went through this with your own father. So thank you for that. Yeah. Oh, so that happened last summer. And then I just kind of, you know, you had the planning day. I think my first planning day was in that, when would that be? September or whatever, the end of summer. And then that's when we hired this part-time nanny, because I could literally go to my husband mm-hmm. with this plan and, you know, and we could make the numbers all work. And so, you know, from there, it's just been like, and then I did the homeschool workbox. And so it's just been kind of trying to keep working through your programs. And then I fall off and then I get back on. And
I think too, because you started out like with that corporate career and now you've entered into the family career. Mm-hmm. A lot of people do that reverse. Like they do the family career and then they're like, how do I get time for me? Like me, where I'm like, no, I work now, people. I even own the company. Like I have to go to the office. No, I cannot let the dog out. Like, let me go to the office, please. And you have like the reverse of that. I think that one of the nice things, I really like working at the office now. And part of it is because, you know, there's a team here. Like we have somebody that cleans the office on the weekends. We have like, if I'm going to return something, I put it over in shipping and it gets shipped out. Like I put it in the right size box, but I don't have to also run the label and all those things. And at any kind of a business, when you work in any kind of a job, even as a teacher, like you're at the office, like you may be running all your copies and everything, but someone else is cleaning the building and someone else is getting the fire protectors done. And you know, all that. When you're at home, it's just you, like you literally yeah. do it all, or it doesn't get done. And it does take, if you want to get it all done, one person can't do it. So you either have to not get it done and know it's not going to get done proactively, or set up a system that is similar to what you would see in any kind of a work environment where multiple people are responsible for different things for efficiency standpoint.
Yeah, that's a really great point. And the take of like shifting from being career. And also mm-hmm. I'm an only child. I like to say very self-focused. Some people call it selfish, but I'm like with the pink pockets, I was like, oh no, I have like 20 pink. Like, I have no issues figuring out all the things I want to do for myself, because that's what I've just like always done. And now I had to like be like, oh, these kids mean all of it, which I love doing and throw, you know, and being a mom, and especially it's like therapeutic parenting and dealing with kids with early childhood trauma, and it's phenomenal, but it's like a different kind of work. But I try to apply some of the similar, like thinking quarterly is like, I've been doing that for so long. So even like you said, don't do the workbox planning day if you're homeschool or whatever. I still did it because I'm like, no, I need to see how Lisa thinks from like a work planning perspective. And I bought the Workbox planner, and then I just kind of like pulled different things because.
That's so interesting. So you did the Workbox planning day for a homeschool. I think it worked for you because you understand quarterly work thinking.
Yes.
My comment was, if you're a teacher, if you have a teacher or homeschool workbox, don't do Workbox planning day or get the Workbox planner, because it very much aligns with how an entrepreneur, direct seller, corporate, real estate person would think about their work. Teachers and homeschoolers have a different cadence and way they think about their work. It's more of a mission and a passion and an education versus a tactical numbers, you know, departmental. But it would work for you because you came from that corporate thinking, and then it transitioned into, okay, I'm just going to apply that with education being the thing I'm marketing and selling.
So yeah.
Little like tiny people.
It was the business where it was just like being a teacher and running. And
yes.
Looked at myself. I think in college, one of my teacher professors was like, you know, you need to run yourself like a business, like you're Amy Incorporated, and have a quarterly plan, have board of advisors. So you're like kind of like on my board of advisors now.
I love it. Ooh, I'd love to meet that person. That's totally how I think.
So I love having both because I think that way, and then I can, but then the planning, the regular planning day, I'm doing that too. And you need to have like a planning day check-in, like every month or something. Like,
if you do both, there's 7 planning days.
I'll do both just to get during the work, but I'm like checking in on my home.
So I have had people, they're like, we want the replay longer. We want, like you said, more check-ins. I think that the 4 business planning days and the 3 home planning days, which is a lot of planning days, but I love it. It's enough, because even if you don't have that monthly check-in, you will get more done in that trimester or in that quarter because you took that planning day than if you didn't have the planning day at all. So it's almost like you plan it and then you allow for a little bit of magic to happen, and then you get as far as you can get, and then you regroup and regroup and regroup instead of constantly like, I hold my goals loosely and I try to do as much as I can without making them be perfect. So there are 2 kinds of goal setters, which I probably should explain. One kind of goal setter is the kind that sets a goal that they know they can achieve because at the end they want to make sure they have all their goals checked off. That's not me. I'm the kind of goal setter where I set something that's just a little bit out of reach, so that if we reach it, it would be amazing. But even if we don't, it's still going to be amazing because it would be a really huge goal if we reached it. And so inside of the company, I've realized that I do set those almost unattainable goals. And inside of our company, I set much more achievable, attainable goals that we almost always hit every quarter, because most people do want to hit their goals and make sure they've checked it off the list. And then they take the next step and the next step and the next step forward. So there are 2 different kinds of goal setters. Amy, which one are you?
It's pretty obvious, the second one. And okay. I call it shooting for the stars and hitting the moon.
Yep.
So it doesn't sound as like, it's like, you know, we're trying to go way out into the universe or the multiverse, but you know what? We made it to the moon.
Yeah. We're living in the clouds, Amy. People are like, what are they doing up there? That's why I want to get on an airplane. I truly think so much more clearly when I am flying on an airplane. Yeah. I don't know how to explain it. Like, I could literally just fly across the country and back again. I would have the best planning day.
So I used to do that for miles. We call them mileage runs. So when you're working.
You literally would do that? Like, get an airplane, go somewhere and come straight back?
Yes. Oh, usually go international because you get so many more. But yes, it's not crazy. But you need like a million
ideas.
Status. Like, you need to, you know, anyhow.
Oh, Amy, you've got to email me all these tricks. Everybody lost their status last year, by the way. Yeah. There is no such thing as status.
And I lost all of mine. Like, it's been 3 years I've been a mom, and I think the first year we went one place, it was like, oh my gosh, I used to be on a plane every other week. And but
yeah,
it's great.
And the effort to go with those 2 kids that one time, you're probably like, oh my gosh, why do they need so much stuff?
So different. I was like, what? Exactly.
Okay. So when was the first time you noticed something was organized that hasn't been organized before?
So I would say I was at the hospital with my son for an issue he had with his foot, and he had been born, I guess, in that hospital, and his name hadn't been transferred or whatever. They had his old name versus his adoptive name, and we had to find like this adoption decree and some other paperwork. And I'm like, called my husband and I was like, okay, just go to my bookshelf. There's like this Arrow binder on there. It's the IEP, the Warrior Mama binder. I like flip through adoption sex tab and like, there's all the stuff. I'm like, scan that and send it over to me, so I, or whatever, to the hospital. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so easy.
Oh, that, I love that story. Yeah. When you can find the paper you need, when you need it, even when you're not in the house, that is when you feel like such a boss.
Yeah, it was great. And he could find it. And now he knows, like, anything with all the kids stuff, like, paper, you know, there's like mounds of of paperwork from the adoption, and just my daughter, you know, has special needs and things like that. And so it's just like all in that binder.
Yeah. Kids explode your paper need, don't they?
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh.
I was super digital. I was like, because of my ADHD, I mean, I've been bill paying, you know, and I was never home. There was literally at least 2 years I put all my stuff in storage and I didn't live anywhere. I just traveled.
Wow. I don't want to go that far.
No. But it was, you know, you can do that when you're, you know, 28 or whatever. And so I just was like, oh, I can't have paper. Cause it just like sucks. And then it was like, oh my gosh, when we were doing the licensing for becoming a foster parent, it was like, I think an 80-page application, yes. And then like these binders, and then there's like, oh, so yes. Much paper. And then I wish I would have had that, like, when we started that process, that would have just been so game changing for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been there. It is so much paper, What has happened since you started getting organized that you did not expect to happen?
I would say probably just like this feeling of like, I used to have this like nagging desire to keep like finding more stuff about it or more people or more books. And now I can just like not worry about that. Like my issue is just trying to do it. Like, and so I don't need to figure it out. You're going to figure it out for me.
No pressure.
Or you're just going to figure out most of it. And then I'm, you know, smart enough to go, oh, okay, I just need to tweak it this way or whatever for my needs. But it's like the formula, you know, the foundation is all there. And then you're going to keep, as I said, you know, giving me more ways or ways to think about it, which is what I need. It's sort of like that constant repetition, but in a way that's more creatively done. So I just feel like at ease that you're now part of my life journey. Similar, I have a fitness methodology that I've followed for 10 years. She puts out probably the largest bank of fitness content ever. And you probably have the largest bank of organization content.
Ooh. I haven't
done the research, but full research. But so I just know. And then there's just the consistency. So I just have these people I follow. And then for me, it's just, oh, I don't have to worry. Just try to get it done. That's it.
Okay. Everyone's going to want to know, who do you follow for fitness?
It's called Tracy Anderson Method. And so it's a subscription based. And I'll tell you, like, I mean, this has been over 10 years and it's, you know, it's more than a gym membership usually. And she's amazing. And she has, it's like a whole mind body thing, kind of like you. It's not just about like, okay, here's how you organize a drawer. It's like deeper than that. And, you know, and we pay subscription. And what's great about like the lifetime access is it's like, I don't have to like worry that, oh my gosh, I fell off the bandwagon this month. You know, and I just lost, you know, $80 or whatever from having a subscription. It's just, no, like there, whenever I'm ready to get back going, then I don't have to keep like worrying that I'm spending money when I'm not able to do the program.
Yeah. Yeah. That's always my thing is that once you find someone that you want to follow, like you'll invest, you'll pay, but it's nice to not be paying forever.
Yeah. Or you can pick and choose like seasonally, I do a planning day or this makes sense to you or even, you know, the planning day subscriptions are great because I love planning. And so you're like, and even that, I'm like, I don't even have to figure out what I'm going to plan. You've already figured it out. I just have to show up and do it.
I'm your teacher. I just put the class on your calendar.
Exactly. And then I can listen to it. Like, I think this last, what was that, a week ago? I was up till 3 a.m. because I like replay, even though you said don't replay the planning, you said sleep.
Are you saying you didn't listen to me, Amy?
So literally I must have had like 18 hours of Lisa that day, whatever that period. But it just plays in the background and I'm like planning away and rejiggering. And so
what do you think you have more of now?
Well, certainly they're just like these undercurrent. Well, I'd say there's like some flashes of like, wow, you could find this thing, or, oh, like my husband, mm-hmm. like pencil drawer. Like, I don't know, after I had organized it, he's like, oh my gosh, I found the pizza cutter the other day. Like when I made pizza for the kids, I didn't have to dig through this giant pile, you know, just these little things, mm-hmm. that just make me feel better. I mean, I just don't, worry, or I used to like agonize to try and like get it all done. I just accept sort of that progress over perfection.
It's always the little things, isn't it? It's not like, oh, I walked in, the house was perfectly organized. It's like, I could find the pizza cutter. It's always those little things where like, yeah, I didn't realize how much I was tolerating that. And that was bothering me. And now it doesn't, because it's just here.
Yeah. I mean, my husband always calls it, it's like a death by a thousand cuts.
Yes.
Sort of me. Because everywhere, the opposite side, it's just like, what gets me is like, just all these little things everywhere. Just like, mm-hmm. my floor has got a pile of stuff. And I have a professional organizer. Another one of my privileges that comes every other week for 4 hours. And I swear, like, she's like, I don't know, is your floor going to be covered up again next time? Like, the stuff just piles. I just, my brain in my office, it just explodes. My kids' playroom, perfect. But my space, crazy.
So you said that you're diagnosed with ADHD, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Not until just in January, actually, this year.
Oh,
so
wow.
I always suspected, but I never like pursued it because I'm an overachiever. As a child, I was diagnosed gifted and talented. So I think that was like my savior, because I got put in all these like gifted programs, even though I couldn't, I was always in detention and talked too much, couldn't sit still, all these things. But because I was so, you know, able to like do really well in school and excel, they were like, okay, she's just like overly gifted, right? So she's stuff like this. And so it wasn't until just recently, because I had therapy through the pandemic, and my therapist mm-hmm. like, you should just go and like talk to the psychiatrist and just, mm-hmm. and then he gave me the diagnosis, and I'm like, okay, yeah, right? It's like obvious.
So I talked to a medical doctor who specializes in ADHD, and she told me that yes, the higher your IQ, the more your ADHD symptoms are masked, mm-hmm. but they're still there. And I thought that was interesting. And then just from my observation with people I've worked with, what I have observed with people who struggle with ADHD is that they can find things that are organized, and they could pull them out of an organized system, and they can use them, and they can be productive, and they can get a lot of stuff done. They just have a really, really hard time with the putting things away when they're done with them.
Yes.
So you know, it's the putting it away. It's cleanup time. They do not like cleanup time at all. They don't like putting things back in their little houses.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. I can set up the best, you know, and that's like, mm-hmm. like even the 100 day, like the kitchen zone just like paralyzes me. Cause I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to read.
So many possibilities.
I'm like, oh, I need to, you know, I'm like overthinking, overanalyzing.
Yes.
Being like, no. Because I can do that, but then I can't actually just like put the spices back in the cabinet. Like
the because you think of all the other ways it could possibly be organized or categorized.
It's just,
or
I don't know why I just leave everything out. You know, my kids' playroom, because I have a cleanup time and I'm like supervising, they'll do it. But I'm like, okay, here's your task. Like,
yep.
And then everything has a spot, they'll put it away. I'm sure if I had to do it, I wouldn't do it. So it's
yes.
just... Yeah, knowing that. And, you know, my office at work is always like there'd be piles and then I just like shove them. That's why I tried to avoid paper because it just piles up.
Yep.
And yeah. So it is interesting that you can have, and I think it's an acceptance. You know, my husband has just accepted that stuff is just getting left out.
Well, and I think because you're obviously a high achiever, high performer, have a lot of goals for yourself. That you have scheduled in that person that comes and puts everything away. I mean, if you can afford it, that is the answer.
Yeah, she tidies. But what's crazy, like I said, I have somebody 5 days a week here to tidy up the kitchen, make dinner, you know, and then babysit the kids for a couple hours. And I still, like, clutter is still all around. So we have a lot of books. I'm, like, obsessed with books. And so they're just everywhere.
So what I would, and the only reason I'm pressing into this is an Organized 365 is hoping to do more of this research in 2022. We've done research this year, like baseline research that we'll be revealing at the end of June about, you know, what's happening inside of the American home from an organizational perspective, how there are actually four different categories of housework that have never been defined before. You know, what is the baseline level of paper that are in American homes? Do they even want to organize it? Who wants to organize it? Men, women, what generation, what ethnicity? Like, there's no statistics on this whatsoever. So we did a study to get those statistics. But then after we have that baseline general population based on the US census data, then we can run additional studies for different things. And ultimately what we want to run our studies for are how ADHD affects home organization, which is a book that I wrote. And the reason why I'm so passionate about this is because everything that you just stated sounds like a very privileged person that gets all these people to help them in their house. But honestly, it's exactly what we would provide in education as a teacher for you with ADHD as a student, and in a corporation for an ADHD individual inside of a corporation would have an executive assistant. They would have systems that are put together. Someone else would do the filing. So what I want to bring to light is not the fact that, and obviously not everyone could do it because it's all individually based on where you live, but specifically the ADHD population is supported in school and they're supported in their job and they are left to fend for themselves at home. And on top of that, when they're not successful, instead of providing supports, they're told you're lazy, you should be more organized. Why haven't you learned this on your own? Everyone else can do it, not you, which is totally not true because like 85% of people say they're not organized. But what you're explaining is like the ideal, the very few people will be able to do, but is the supports that would be necessary for, you know, for exactly your situation. Like you've put into place everything that would be put into place in a corporation or inside of a school for the same exact person. And it's just not talked about.
No, it's phenomenal. It's, and even in the workplace, I mean, had I, like my company, I would have never shared that because then I would have been like, it just wouldn't have gone well. And so I think that that's a fantastic idea. But even, you know, and that's one of the reasons why your program works well for me also is because there's like the Friday workbooks group, there's the Sunday basket group, like, and then there's even, I've used one of the professional organizers, but like certified, what do you call them, organizers.
Yeah.
It just, I need that accountability. It's almost like a babysitter. Mm-hmm. I mean, my husband was like, wait, you want to just hire somebody to sit there and watch you work? And I'm like, yes.
Yes.
My startup, like, so it's sort of like rebooting the computer, like an old school computer, like for me to like start a project that I don't want to do, which is all the mundane tasks that have to be done in a home or being a mother.
Yes.
I need somebody. Yes. Just start me up.
Yeah, it's called task initiation. It is an executive function that is often impaired in ADHD.
And complete it, right? I can hyper-focus for days. Like I literally stayed up till 4 a.m. building these grids on all the summer camp availabilities, you know, send it to our neighbor. Like, it's like, but you can't sit down and do the budget. I'm like, no.
It's just true. I don't know what to tell you. It's just true. So have you read my book, How ADHD Affects Home Organization? Okay, because you've mentioned like everything in there.
The hard part for me is I'm just like you, like voraciously consuming, and I never remember exactly where I heard this or that.
Yes. It's totally fine.
It resonates. And I'm like, okay, I know. Like, okay, just because it works. Somebody I know who I trust figured it out. Just do it.
Amy, what is your next step?
Oh gosh. For me, it's just really the daily, like continuing to build those daily habits, making those little changes and just continuing to keep jumping on your, when I fall off, which I get derailed all the time to just keep coming back to you.
I love it.
Have Embrace coming up. So I'm really excited. I find it funny that you have a hard time describing it. So I'm kind of excited to see what it's going to be.
Well, yeah, because it's like, I guess the closest thing would be a personal development conference. But here's the thing, like, and I realized what it was the other day after I was all done making the workbook. I was like, oh yeah, I don't sell anything at Embrace. Like normally when you go to a conference, like at the end, there's a big package that the person on stage sells you. Like it could be like their bazillion-dollar mastermind or like one. Like I literally don't sell anything. I was talking to someone about that, that was coaching me. And she's like, yeah, I don't know how you make any money on that because you don't charge very much. You don't sell anything when you're there. You give us these gifts. She's like, how do you make money on this? I'm like, am I supposed to make money on it?
And invest, yeah. You know, really, you could look at how you manage your business and from a profitability standpoint, there's like to be like, that's really, you shouldn't be doing
it's that. Just community building. It's like, do you want to have a slumber party with me? Do you want to listen to me for, you know, 24 hours straight? Sign up for Embrace. Like, that's basically it. Like, so then you do the sales page. How do you do the sales page on that? Do you want to listen to Lisa for 24 hours and spend the night with her? Here you go. You could help me on the marketing of that next year, Amy.
Yeah, and after I'll give a summary of that after I attend. I listen to all of the people. You know, it seems like a personal development conference. It is
very much a personal development conference, but there's nothing to buy at the end. It's like, there's no sales page. There's no, it's really just friends getting together. And I also think like it's 300 people online this year because we capped it at that. And I try to think about it bigger and in person again. I'm like, wow, it's just not going to have that same intimate feeling that it did from the beginning. But I think that's just part of the brand growing too, and the audience growing and all of that too.
Yeah. Well, then you'll be able to go and do like my fitness person. She does these vitality weeks and weekend summits. Ooh. And she travels periodically, and so it's sort of that same, like, to touch the community. It's a small group.
Yes.
I mean, I do that in sales. I literally would hit all these cities, and my sales reps would be, well, can you stay longer than a day? I'm like, I don't need to, because once I'm here, like, we connect, I inject all this energy in you, we focus in on some stuff, and I leave, and like, it continues on. And so I'm hopeful that from Embrace I'll continue, like something big is going to come out of that, I'm sure.
Oh my gosh, it is. And I can't wait to hear it, because you'll be like,
I can't wait.
You have to tell me. All right. What advice would you give to someone just starting out?
For me, I would say if Lisa resonates with you, like if you hear her or you've seen, you know, listen to her podcast or read a book or what have you, and it just kind of clicks, just keep following along. Like, don't question it. Just like stay the course, because you know, it's sort of like anything with relationships. Like, you kind of know when you click with somebody, and so you're not going to like change like drastically overnight. So if you click, then just start, you know, continuing to invest more.
Amy, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Yeah. Thank you, Lisa. This has been so much fun. And I would love to come back to see, because I think I've only done 2 days of the 100-day program. So,
oh my gosh, are you kidding me? I don't know if I saw that on your application.
Oh, I did. Yeah. I did 1 day the first time and 2 days the second round. So this is my third round. So I'm like, okay, I need
to
at least do 3.
I wonder, and I was thinking this as you were talking, like, would your spouse do the 100-day program?
He does not want to have anything. He's like, that's why I pay people to.
Two corporate people have children later in life. This is what this looks like later. I wonder if your professional organizer person would do it.
Well, she knows you, because I had the 3 paper solution books that I bought, and of course, you know, I bought the other 2 because the bonus that you gave was like so great, and that was like early on when I first found you. And she saw the books and we're, of course, organizing. And she's like, oh, why do you have 3 of these books?
Lisa said to get 5.
I know, exactly. Well, you know, because we're always well, what are you going to do with them? I'm like, I don't know. She's like, well, I know lots of people that I could benefit from. I'm like, perfect. Take them.
That's awesome. That's hilarious.
She's like, Lisa's great. Yeah, she has a program. I don't know if you've checked it out. So in any event.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Oh, but what you're saying, to have somebody. Yeah, you know, and I just saw on the Facebook group, like, accountability people. So I'm thinking maybe I could try one. Like, again, I need that, like, babysitter person. Mm-hmm. There's also an app called Focus Mate that is, like, co-working space. Ah. And you essentially, it pairs you up with somebody around the world to just like, you literally go on camera and say, I'm going to work on organizing my drawer or whatever.
Oh my gosh. Or
studying something. And then you both do the thing. And then at the end of the time, you say how it went. So something like that within the Organized 365 cool. community, awesome for me.
I'll have to think about that. Well, Amy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Lisa. Have a fabulous day.
Are you ready to share your transformational story with me and the rest of the Organize 365 community? We would love to hear it. Please go to organize365.com/Wednesday and fill out an application. I cannot wait to see your application in my email inbox.